Hello, and welcome to episode 13 of the Policy Agendas podcast. I'm here with Brooke. Brooke, how are you?
Hello, I'm well. How are you?
So Brooke, you recently returned from a sojourn over in Europe.
That's right.
And we've done one episode with Christopher Green Peterson from your sojourn, and we have another episode here.
We do. It's with Dr. Peter Mortensen.
So, Dr. Peter Mortensen, you guys talked about two articles?
Yes. One was written on local agendas with another professor named Henrik Beach Seberg, also at Aarhus University, and then another co-authored paper with a few other professors.
All right, so we're gonna transition to that audio right now. So listen to Brooke about 3 months ago discussing these two articles with Dr. Peter Mortensen at the University of Aarhus.
Hello, welcome to the Policy Agendas podcast. My name's Brooke Shannon. We're coming at you live from Aarhus University, and I'm here with Dr. Peter Beer Mortensen. Welcome to the podcast, Peter.
Thank you.
And so you are, can you introduce yourself for the listeners?
Sure. I'm a professor in Aarhus at Aarhus University, a professor in political science. Been here a while, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you also are active in the Center of Public Leadership, that's right?
Yeah, I'm affiliated with a Center of Public Leadership and also public administration, working in kind of the intersection between public policy and public administration.
Right, yeah. So that's a great segue into talking about your work, your recent work that has just come out this last year with Martin Bakegaard and Henrik Seberg. And it's all about the influence of bureaucracy on the content and composition of the policy agenda, as well as sort of how local governments address problems and if they're responsive, things like that, which we usually see at the national level. So this is a really cool body of work, I think, that you're building.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's start with the paper with Martin and Henrik on the bureaucracy. So in general, where did your data come from for these projects?
We used data from the Danish local governments, the Danish municipalities, mm-hmm. and this paper is part of a bigger project where we thought that it would be interesting to study agenda setting questions where we actually use what we could call the laboratory of local governments. It's interesting that agenda setting actually started out focusing very much at local government politics, and then it shifted focus to the national level, but we thought that it was actually worth going back to the local level because it provides us with a lot of political units to study, and that makes some possibilities to actually take the study of policy agenda setting into a more explanatory universe where we start more systematically study different explanations. And in this paper, we focus on the bureaucracy as an explanation of the policy agenda.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So the data from the Danish municipalities, as I understand it, there's something like 100, right? And
yep.
They sort of coordinate, they're autonomous, but they coordinate with the national government. Is there like a regional or a state government at all?
There's also a regional level in Denmark, but they have only very specialized responsibility for healthcare. And then you have the Danish municipalities, a total of 98. Which have responsibilities in a wide range of different policy areas, and they are, as you say, quite autonomous political units, and they can collect taxes and make a lot of different important decisions. So that's also why they're interesting.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So for your study on bureaucracy and local agendas, did you look at, I guess, which agencies did you look at? Did you look at all kinds of actors? Like, how did you sort of code for these things?
Yeah, when we, the bureaucracy, we were going for a measure of what we call administrative professionals. The basic argument was that it is important for the local policy agendas how the bureaucracy looks, and it differs in the Danish municipalities how professionalized they are. And our argument is that if you have a bureaucracy where you have many very professionalized, well-educated bureaucrats, then you also have people who are good at taking problems or conditions and turning them into political problems. Mm-hmm. So what we were studying was actually how that measure of professionalization of the bureaucracy, how that affects the size of the local political agenda, the number of issues, and the composition of the local policy agendas.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So what did you guys find? Does bureaucracy matter, and how in the local agenda setting?
Yeah, we did find that it matters. We did find that the more administrative professionals you had in a given municipality, then you also find that more issues enter the political agenda. And the political agenda, we should say, is measured based on the local council agenda. Mm-hmm. So for each meeting, we counted and coded what kind of issues and how many issues did they actually address. And our argument is that also in the literature on bureaucracy, you have been focusing very much at what we call the back end of the process, so implementation and mm-hmm. how the bureaucracy matters for that part. But the new thing here is that we also focus on how bureaucracy matters for the front end, for policy agenda setting, for bringing issues onto the agenda. And you could say that one hypothesis would be that it could be a kind of trade-off. So the more professionalized bureaucracy, then the more you actually leave to the bureaucracy. I think we find a pattern that is more optimistic for democracy also, that mm-hmm. that they actually play together. So if you have a more professionalized bureaucracy, also bring more issues up for political deliberation and attention.
Right. Yeah, that was super interesting, the professionalization aspect of it. When you look at elected officials, right, you also look at the level of pay and yeah. whether or not that affects how they sort of receive information or whether they're able maybe to receive information, which sounds really familiar in an agenda setting perspective. So also, which issues? So I guess, are there any that jumped out at you that were most important to the bureaucracy, or which ones that they focus on? And also, just which issues are more common in local government, especially in Denmark?
There are some issues that are more common, and they are not that different from the national level. Economic issues mm-hmm. Matter quite a lot, and we actually use some adapted version of the general policy agenda setting code book mm-hmm. so we can trace it. But of course there are also some differences. I think the main point here is it's not so interesting what issues, it's more like the number and the diversity of issues that they bring up on the policy agenda. And then you mentioned that there's also, we study an interaction effect here with the payments of the politicians and how many political committees we have in the municipality. Mm-hmm. So it turns out that if you have politicians that are more professional, you have that in some municipalities, mm-hmm. then you don't find that strong effect of the bureaucracy. So we interpreted it in a way that if you have local municipalities where you have less professionalized politicians, then you will also then you can actually have a bureaucracy that kind of compensate for this, that actually bring issues in that the politicians would bring in themselves if they had more time and spent more time on local politics.
Sure. So like so bureaucrats in the local system, they are sort of capable of giving information to a lower level of professionalized council, whereas when the council is more professionalized, they maybe have more time and more staff resources, et cetera, to search and to find this information on their own.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, cool. So in terms of the effects of the bureaucracy on these committees, do the committees shape a relationship between local government leaders and the bureaucracy in terms of specialization? I know it's really intertwined with the professionalization, but what does that look like? Like, how does it provide a mechanism almost for the agenda?
Yeah, there are a lot of questions actually about the relationship between the committees and the mm-hmm. council that we still want to look into in more detail. In this paper, it's a more simple story where we just count the number of committees, and that's another interesting thing about the Danish municipalities. You have some municipalities with only 2 standing committees, and you have mm-hmm. some with 14 standing committees, so they are very different in terms of how specialized in the committee system they are. And here we just found that if you have very few committees, then the professionalization of the bureaucracy matters more to the local policy mm-hmm. agenda than if you have a lot of committees. And again, we take that, as you indicated before, as a measure of how directly involved are the politicians. If you have a lot mm-hmm. of committees, very specialized, you have politicians very close to the problems and the issues. If right. you have very few broad committees, then you need a bureaucracy to actually bring in the issues and to kind of promote issues and make them comprehensive to the political level.
Right, yeah. And sort of leading into the second paper with Henrik Seberg on problems, do you have a hunch that stronger bureaucracy or more involved bureaucracy, et cetera, sort of leads government to be more responsive?
Yeah, I think that would be our interpretation, but it is, of course, a quite indirect test of that mechanism. But that's how we would interpret the result we had in the first paper. In the second paper you mentioned, the one with Henrik Seeberg, there we study, and that's a concern we have an interest we have in this broader project is that how responsive is the political system access to actual problem development. Mm-hmm. And again, our argument is that was a question that the original agenda setting studies, the US agenda studies and community level studies, they were very interested in problem responsiveness. And we argue that the development of the agenda setting literature kind of lost interest a little bit in that relationship. And we think it's important. So what we study there is there a direct relationship between problem development, so unemployment, if that goes up in a municipality, can you then also see that the council give more attention to unemployment related issues? And what about crime? If that rises, do they give more attention? And we actually do find quite a strong correlation between problem development and then attention to issues in that second paper.
Yeah, and I think that this is a really cool bridge between sort of traditional political science and public administration as well. What do you see, do you agree and do you see like the audience as different for this type of work versus something maybe on just strictly agenda setting or just strictly on responsiveness, things like that?
Yeah, I do think, well, we do try to say that we study general political science questions, but I think you're right that also you can see where we go with this paper. The paper we started out with is published in the public administration journal JPART. Mm-hmm. So that means that we try to bridge a little bit, that gap between public policy and public administration. And then also when you study local governments, local municipalities, it's kind of getting closer to public administration in many people's perspective. So I guess you're right there. There might be a little different audiences, but I actually don't think there's a reason that this is not both political scientists and public administration scholars.
Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to get around the public administration of local government. Like you mentioned, issues like crime and safety, police, schools, and unemployment, things like that, like the local conditions that really like are immediate needs that local governments have to face. And so when we think of responsiveness, especially of government, like when we think of the literature, I guess, a lot of the factors that we think of, like the indicators of responsiveness, I'm thinking of Chris Legend and Stuart Soroka's work, for example, looking at whether or not the government responds to people's either situation or preferences on things like defense spending, right? So these like big issues that we really think are sort of typified in national government. So I'm just curious what factors really affect, did y'all find affect problem responsiveness at the municipal level? For example, also one of the things at the national level that we think of is like really affecting these type of how the government responds is party. And do you find that kind of stuff? I know that was a lot of questions in one, but so like what issues does the government really focus on at the local level? And then sort of what are the factors that affect it?
Yeah, I think your first part of the question is about responsiveness and how it differs from more familiar national level approaches to this, where you're very focused on public opinion. And I think that work is of course very important, but I think there is another approach to responsiveness, which is more in line with the traditional perspective in policy agenda setting studies, where it's more about that you can demand from a well-functioning political system that they attend to problems and attend to problem development. That what the voters can expect from them. And that's actually what you could call the first order question. And then the next question is what kind of policy solution and what do the voters actually want? What kind of solution? And that might be very contextual. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is important to just study problem responsiveness. Do they attend to problems in the first place? Then you ask about what kind of factors that condition this. In the paper with Henrik Seeberg, we found this strong correlation actually between problem development and local political attention to problem. Mm-hmm. But we also found that it was conditioned on the degree of electoral competition. Mm-hmm. The local levels in Denmark do have a quite developed party system that mirrors the national level party system. So you have competitive elections every 4 years. And then you can see in the municipalities where you have a close race, you see much more responsiveness in terms of much more attention to problem developments, mm-hmm. compared to municipalities where one side is just winning traditionally most of the time. And then we also looked into issue ownership, which mm-hmm. could be, so the electoral competition, that's a good thing, that what you want, that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. But then you could say that having parties compete for election, you will also get the bias from, for instance, issue ownership dynamics, mm-hmm. where you have left parties only respond to problem developments in left issues and right mm-hmm. parties only respond to problem developments on right issues. But that we didn't actually find. We didn't mm-hmm. find that bias. So it is a kind of optimistic picture, I think, based on on how local democracy should work, mm-hmm. At least in the Danish case.
Yeah. Speaking of the Danish case, there's an election coming up, right? In a few days, in 2 days, there will be a Danish national election. Are there local elections with this national, and what issues are really coming to the forefront?
Yeah, we don't have, we have the local elections, they are fixed every 4 years, and then we have the national election, that's the prime minister who calls mm-hmm. them. So we don't have, sometimes they are at the same time, sometimes not. Now we don't have a local election. So, but we do have a national election where they also talk about issues, of course, that are relevance to the municipalities and the local mm-hmm. elections. So there is, of course, a link in Denmark between the national and local agendas. But we actually have also tried to see what is the correlation between our 98 local mm-hmm. government agendas, and then we also have a measure of the national Danish policy agenda. And there is a very weak correlation in general, which I think actually supports the assumption that we do have quite autonomous local political systems that respond to local problems.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. So speaking of the coordination and, I guess, differences between the Danish local project and the Danish national project, you and Christopher Green Petersen were really the, I guess, pioneers in some way of the Comparative Agendas project, taking it from an American-focused policy agendas project and moving it to the international realm. Can you talk a little bit about where it came from, when you did it, and comparing it to the original project and your experiences?
Yeah, I think the Danish National Agendas Project started out by Christopher Green Petersen mm-hmm. back in around 2002, I think, as the first non-US national agenda setting project. And then I entered the project, and we developed all kinds of different parliamentary measures there. And I think it's been a real, really exciting to see how the comparative approach just developed with more and more countries mm-hmm. coming into the policy agendas project. So I think there is a very still very strong research agenda there, where we have a lot of comparative national level questions that mm-hmm. we need to investigate. But when we started out, I think this is the first real local agendas project. We also mm-hmm. have a comparative ambition there, and we now have people in Norway mm-hmm. trying to collect local council agendas. We have tried to put up some collaboration with people in Sweden. Mm-hmm. Also, we have quite strong local governments in these three countries. But I think this is my hope that we can see that there will also be a real comparative approach at the local government level. I think there are a lot of issues that start out locally across mm-hmm. Europe, perhaps also in the US, where we started out a project in Austin. So I think this could be fantastic if we could have more comparative work there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in creating our code book, right, the Austin code book, we really just sort of took the Danish code book, threw it into Google Translate, and then made sort of the language a little bit more American. Mm. So I think the comparative aspects of the different code books and the different projects is really strong. And that's sort of the really cool thing about having an international focus and an international project. So
Yeah, and I think there is a real contribution also to local government, which perhaps mm-hmm. for some years have not been where the main political science ideas and mm-hmm. research have taken place. But I think I don't see any objective reason that it's that way. I think we can really, with this kind of data, also mm-hmm. revitalize local government research.
Yeah, I think it's there's been sort of this perspective, maybe stereotype of local government for a long time now, since like the dawn of agenda setting with books like Crenson's book on air pollution, for example, that local politics is not politics. It's just sort of service provision and things like that. So I really think your work is exciting because it's sort of a redemption of local politics, right? It shows that issues are important and politics are important and competition, things like that. So yeah, it's really exciting work.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks so much for sitting down with us at the Policy Agendas. We look forward to seeing and hearing more from you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.